Little music from Seventh Power, Eyes in the Skies. They're watching you. They're watching me. Hey, we need a free and clear mind, especially today. Gunman kills 33 at Virginia Tech. This is outrageous. This is absolutely outrageous. And we're living in a culture that's dying, my friends. It's dying in its spiritual demise. It's dying in its moral decline. It's dying in its violence, in its fear. It is absolutely vital that we grasp the mind of God during these days and see what He is speaking in to the situation and the prophetic timetable. We need a free and clear mind. Listen, I want to tell you a little bit today about just the subject of having a free and clear mind. This is a vital issue for all of us. And we all are engaged in some ways with some elements of mind control. I mean, think about it just for a little bit. Whether you are going to the store to buy things, or whether you're listening to a ad on the television, maybe you had a kind of family life where you were controlled. Listen, the mind can be controlled. The mind can be manipulated. The mind can, you know, be influenced in dramatic ways. And so what we're talking about now today in this free and clear mind subject is the issue of mind control and what has been going on, what is going on. I'm going to go over a number of subjects, about 16 subjects. And if you're looking at the little website, you can look at those 16 subjects. I deal with these more in detail in the book Black Awakening and also in the course. But mind control is a major issue for all of us. None of us want to be manipulated, lied to, anything changing our minds when we are unwilling and sometimes when we're not even aware. I mean, that's what lying is all about. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. It all started there. It all began with him. There was a twisting in knowledge, twisting in communication, and this all began in the garden, in the influence of the human race, but yet our choice in rejecting truth and grasping a lie. A friend of mine, Bob Rosio, wrote the book Hitler in the New Age, and in it there's a phrase that he uses that I have used again and again and again. Deception always leads to destruction. Obviously the guy today was absolutely deceived, absolutely clearly deceived concerning what he did. Something influenced his mind to go out there and systematically shoot. Now, was this one of those sleepers? Was this a programmed assassin? Was this somebody, stepped out, and was activated for a test scenario? Some people believe that about Columbine. Some believe that about the man that walked into the church in Texas and took his 9mm and began shooting church members. Obviously something influenced the mind in such a way to do something so horrific and so stupid. Well, listen, this is Russ from the organization Shadow the Darkness, and we want to touch on the issues of mind control here. And this little message, podcast, broadcast, is called A Free, A Mind Free and Clear. And we're going to go over 16 subjects. Let me just mention them. Intimidation, manipulation, thought projection, threat control, love bombing, commercial marketing, post-hypnotic suggestion, voice-to-skull, drug-induced, subliminal, flaming arrows, the spiritual warfare side of all this, programming, ritual and sympathetic magic, the Antichrist and the Mark, that's to come, and 15, totalism. And 16 zombies. So let me just touch on all of these as we go through this today. It is absolutely vital that you and I understand that there's a tremendous power in the Word of God that God gives to us. It's called a lamp to our feet. It does bring about truth. It causes us to perceive and know error and what is true. The Spirit of God living in the believer in Christ guides us into the truth and gives us the ability to perceive the heart and mind of God, as the Scriptures teach, that we can freely understand what God has freely given us in Christ. So to have the mind of Christ, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, you can read about that. And there's this issue of the mind of Christ, the mind of God. The Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. And God himself has mind, intelligence, and will, and emotion, obviously in his attributes. And so this God that we love and worship creates us. But listen, we're living in a world that's fallen, broken, fragmented. It's not what it was supposed to be. And you and I, hopefully many of you right here that are listening now, you've come to Christ. You know what it is to be spiritually made alive and to know God subjectively, inwardly, really. And then to know the Word of God as an object of the Scripture, the Grapha, the writings the Spirit of God gave to us. And we can talk about, the Scripture talks about the renewing of the mind. Well, we're going to get to some of that towards the end of this. But we are in danger in America with thousands upon thousands of cults or a sect, the occult, and every kind of manipulation that's going on. I mean, the marketers know how to do it. The politicians know how to do it. That's what polls are all about. And, you know, we're all sick and tired of being controlled, having our minds manipulated and lied to and so forth. And really what all of this is about being lied to. It's about the great lie. It's about the lie that began, that was given to us in the beginning. Listen, when you accept a lie, you're going to engage deception, and there's going to be a reaping of that belief. And so if somebody's telling you that the bridge is not out and you can go ahead and fly across that bridge at 70 miles an hour and you head on down the road and the bridge is out and you go flying across the first part of it and fly off of it down into the ravine or down into the river, you've been lied to. And on your way down screaming, you're going to know you've been lied to. And that's how it's going to be in hell for many people. They're going to be screaming out. And yes, they've been lied to, but many have heard the Word of God. They've heard the gospel. The Bible is called, it's called the gospel, that which means good news, great news. And it's about the truth that God is giving back to us. And I'm going to share with you the work of God in drawing us back to himself involves no manipulation, no intimidation. It does not involve, the manipulation of our minds. It involves literally God engaging our mind and freeing us from darkness and drawing us into the light, literally lifting the fog of satanic blinding. There is a supernatural element to mind control that goes beyond even this discussion. Well, we're going to get into this right now. Let's start with number one. And as I said already, the issue is it all begins with being lied to. It all has all of these forms of thought control, mind control, soul control is about being lied to in some form, one way or another. And it's vital that we become aware of so many of these things. You may see that you have been controlled or influenced in some wrong way. I share on the website where I went to Mexico and I was in Tijuana. We were shopping and I was by myself. And all of a sudden I heard this whisper, almost a whisper coming into my head, something for your girlfriend, something for your mother. And I didn't know where it was coming from. And I turned around and far away there was a man in the store and he quickly turned around and was fixing some items or whatever. I turned around and began to look some more and I heard the same phrase again, something for your mother, something for your girlfriend. And once again, I turned around. Well, I caught on to it. This is a guy that was giving me suggestions. He was wanting me to buy something for my mother, buy something for my girlfriend. He already had in his mind as a trained shop salesman that in that little Tijuana store, he was there to influence me. And every time I turned around, he would turn around and not look at me. And it was, I guess it was maybe a cheap form of that subliminal, message that was sent out to me. And those thoughts were being injected into my head. Well, that's kind of a again, light level thing. I was able to, you know, hear those phrases. And you know what? When I heard those phrases, I thought, you know, there is something here maybe my mother wants. You know, it did give me an idea, but it was my choice to do with it whatever I wanted to. And the man didn't come up and put a gun to my head and say, you must buy something for your mother. He was throwing out suggestions. Well, in a much deeper way, years ago I was sitting in the 90s with a cult multiple, a chosen one, out of Fort Bragg. This is a person I cared about a lot. We was really trying to help this person. They had numerous sub-personalities in their lives created from splitting, which involves the splitting not only of, I mean, when we say personality, we're referring to the mind. So that in every multiple, there's numerous minds, numerous personalities. Every personality has their own mind. They have their own information. They have everything concerning their own history, their own memories. And we were driving and talking and sharing, and I had finally pulled over. It was raining pretty strongly, and we had a piggybacker, somebody who always follows us as we engage some of these you know, scenarios with dealing with cult multiples and those who were not totally sure of what's going on at the time. Well, when I pulled over, all of a sudden, I saw this person reach down, grab in a bag, pull out a 9mm, a gun. And I, for a split moment, thought for sure I'm going to be shot in the car right here, because this is the kind of engagement we had with a number of folks, and we've had threats and things like that. And they pulled out the gun and began to look at it, and I noticed very clearly that the person switched. They went from the regular person I was dealing with and talking to a sub-personality, and I've never met this sub-personality. I don't know why they came forward. And they began to talk to me, and I asked them their name. They said assassin. I said, well, what is your function? What have you been trained for? Which includes the programming and the training and everything else involved. That's what happens in the programming of a sub-personality. They are told who they are, told what to do, given a job, programmed. Many times demonic presence is raised and placed in that programmed personality to energize that programming. It involves the mind. And so I was engaging a personality who was answering questions and talking with me. Obviously, they knew I was there. Most sub-personalities will know that you're around before you ever know they're around. And they asked me if I wanted to see the gun. And I said, okay, sure. And I held my hand out, and they handed me the chambered 9mm. I looked at it to the left, looked at it to the right, looked around it, you know, and I had to pray for a moment because I didn't know whether to hand it back or not. And in that moment, I felt led of the Lord to hand it back. I handed it back to this person called Assassin, who explained to me their training, their job, what they're all about, you know, again, being triggered and sent and given an assignment to take somebody out. And when I handed the gun back, Assassin was shocked. And looked at me totally shocked. Assassin, he said to me, they said you would shoot me. I said, who said I would? Well, the programmers, the handlers. And I said, why would you think or anybody think that I would shoot you? Why would I do that? And he had no answer for that, of course. And but that's what he was told. That's what he believed. And I said, well, why would you even give me the gun if you knew that I was going to shoot you? So, you know, he says, well, you know, it wouldn't hurt anyway. I said, you mean if I was to shoot you with a 9mm, it wouldn't hurt? No, it won't hurt at all. Obviously, they've never been shot by a 9mm, right? But they've been programmed. They've been lied to. They've been told that it wouldn't even hurt. I said, well, what if I shot you and even if it didn't hurt, you died? Well, Assassin told me they would just leave that physical body and move into another body. And again, they've been lied to. Many personalities in the rogue military system of Monarchs and MKUltra have been lied to in that way. That's what has kind of emboldened them to be the kind of warriors and do the kind of jobs they've been programmed to do. And so here was the other extreme of somebody who's been who's had a sub-personality created, programmed, trained, and retrained, and engaged with programmers and handlers, and was told to do this. And we made friends. And of course, my goal was to bring to them the truth and share with them Christ, the truth, and bring them to an encounter with the living Christ and any deliverance they might have needed. Because this person's life was taken from them. They should not have a sub-personality created to be an assassin that is completely controlled by outside handlers and by programmed information, thought that has been pumped into them, whether by screen memory, whether by loop training, the old psychic driving. Well, that's the two extremes, I think. Just slightly somebody giving you suggestions, and they're putting thoughts to your head, and you've got to make a decision, of course. But they were doing it a little bit deceptively, too, because they didn't come up to see if I needed help or what, you know, to make a suggestion. They were literally just following me around, throwing those thoughts into my head, hoping that those thoughts would push me over and that I would buy some merchandise for my mother or for my girlfriend. Well, I still pray for my friend that I met, assassin. That person is not completely free yet, and I have never forgotten them, and the prayers for years upon years continue. Let's go over the list from 1 through 16. Intimidation. I don't know about you, but I hate to be intimidated, and maybe you have a boss, maybe somebody was in your school, maybe when you were a child, maybe it was a parent or a relative, somebody intimidating you in such a way that there's almost literally, you know, that they're going to either reject you or do something if you do not do what they want. And so intimidation sometimes, you know, sometimes somebody can just look at you and say, you know, don't even think about, you know, doing such and such and because they're threatening you. Even their mannerisms would threaten you. So there's intimidation that can be thought control, mind control. And, you know, we have to deal with whether we're going to choose what we're, you know, the course that we are going. Someone walks up behind you and says, give me all your money. And you don't see a knife or a gun, and you say no, and then all of a sudden they pull a knife. That brings, you know, that brings another level to the intimidation. You know, you've got to decide what you're going to do concerning that now, because they're coming there again to force you to do something you would not choose in your own mind. That's intimidation, and intimidation is a form of controlling another person's life. And the Word of God would teach every single believer that we're not to live that way. We're not to create factions. We're not to be, you know, behind the scenes intimidating people or use intimidation to get our way. Husbands and wives and parents, we have ways that God shows us godly and correct influences, but not intimidation, ungodly intimidation. Secondly, there's manipulation. And manipulation involves a deep-seated lie, because there's a mask behind this. Somebody's coming up to flatter you and talk to you and praise you and talk how good you are and how much you would really like to lend them money. You would really like, because you're such a good person and you're so kind and you got so much money and you care about people that don't have money, so you would love to be able to give me some money, and that's manipulation. People, you know, that come to manipulate others. Children can be intimidated, number one, or number two, manipulated very easily. You know, it is. It's very easy to lie to a child, because until they begin to learn people and what they're doing, many times there's manipulation. Pedophiles can use a deeper form of this, in the sense of offering candy, offering a gift to draw them. That's manipulation. They're presenting a false front. There's no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie, because the lie doesn't have truth, total truth in it. And it's very important that we learn around us, be careful and aware around us who's manipulating, but that we do not use that, and that we don't use it to get our own way. People, listen, children can throw temper tantrums to get their way. That's manipulation. Adults can do the same. You know, a guy that's just freaking out in his own mind or whatever else, holds a gun to his head, I'll kill myself if you don't love me any longer. That's manipulation. You can't force somebody to love you on that basis. And so that is also a form of mind control, and God wants us to have a free and clear mind. And so let's look at number three, thought projection. Now, this is another thing that we have to deal with. Thought projection is when, you know, we are being sent messages, thoughts. Whether, you know, you can purchase even these little CDs at the store that if you listen to them during the night, they're supposed to put thoughts into your head about having peace and having kindness and being tranquil and being calm and all these kind of things to bypass the conscious mind of the issues, kind of, again, controlling your thought life. Because listen, you know what? Your emotional life flows from your thought life. That's true. Emotions somewhat are neutral. I mean, you might have high-level emotions. You say, man, my emotions are telling me to scream. Well, your emotions, behind those screaming emotions, there is thought life. Thought life that has engaged some problem, some issue, some frustration that has now affected your emotional state. Mind and emotion go, you know, they flow together. There's no separation. Even in the Old Testament Hebrew, when it refers to the mind, there's not a clear-cut biblical Hebrew word for just simply mind. A number of phrases that bring thought to mind or having sorrow and making choices are there in the Hebrew, but in the Hebraic sense, there was a sense of total unity to how a person chooses, because the mind, the will, and the emotions flow together. My emotions may be down because of certain events, and I don't like the feeling. So the feeling that I don't like, I want to choose some things to get out of it, or I want something to happen to get free from those feelings. And so please understand this principle, because when thoughts come, thought projection, when somebody speaks words to you and tells you you are an idiot. Literally, we would call these in biblical theology, or in the Christian realm, we'd call these word curses. You know, a sentence planted in a young person's mind, or in a wife, or just anybody, placed into your head numerous times. Pretty soon, you know, it's in there and it's been projected from somebody else, and you've been told you're an idiot. You've been told you'll never amount to anything. You've been told you absolutely cannot do something. And if you've been told that enough, and if you begin to doubt yourself and accept what the other person has said, in a freedom encounter, we like to search for these kind of injected lies, these kind of little word curses that have been put into people's lives, because once again, they can affect your life. They can control you choosing to do things in your life. And so thought projection can come from another person who doesn't want you to succeed, just a mean person, whatever else. It can happen with bad parenting, in telling children they'll never amount to anything. You'll never amount to anything. And how do you know that? Are you God? I've heard that when I was young also. I heard things, you know, many times. But I knew in Christ I found a freedom. And I began to believe God, that all things are possible. And I began to believe what the truth spoke to me and how I can engage the truth and be able to live. And to find out that God speaks the truth, tells the truth, never intimidates, never, never, even when he convicts me of some issue of sin, even if he speaks to me about something in my life or to warn me or whatever else, God is always true and true in the way he engages us. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. There's an engagement that God brings to us, a communication. Even in our warning before coming to Christ about hell. Hell is for real. Hell is out there. You know, Jesus said hell was created for the devil and his angels. And if we choose to live in those lies, we're destined for that. God's come to rescue us out of that situation and give us the truth. And give us the gift of eternal life. So it's very important that we, you know, hear the truth. Even the Word of God says, how can you believe on whom you've not heard? Faith and knowing God and having the ability to choose God comes from hearing. And I'll talk about this in the spiritual warfare section, but let me just say it quickly here. There are things that Satan doesn't want you to hear. There are things that Luciferians and Satanists and your handlers and so forth, they do not want you to hear. Those who project the thoughts, simple things in our lives. If God would give you right now a few moments to think through and just ask the Lord for this, ask God to show you where thoughts have been injected by other individuals that eventually you began to live your life by, but they were never true. But they've affected your life, they've crippled your life, they've taken you down, whatever it may be. And we'll talk about, again, getting the point of having a mind that is free and clear. That's number three. Take a look at number four. There's threat control. Now, this is even broader also, because that may involve the idea of the guy coming up with the gun and is commanding you to get in the car and commanding you to drive. All of a sudden, you're doing everything he says so that you will not get shot. And the person behind the gun obviously has bad motives. This is true in so many things, in rape and abuse and people who abuse children and violence in society and so forth. This is what we're seeing with terrorism around the world today, that if we do not get our way, we will blow the heck out of you. If we do not get to impose a religious system upon you, we will chop off your arm, we will cut off your tongue, whatever. This, again, is threat control in the sense that a person, just about anybody, matter of fact, in talking with some people that came out of the government, came out of CIA in the past, we talked about the issues of torture. And it was clearly stated, and I even one time bought a book on the history of torture devices. I only read a fourth of it because it was just horrific. And they showed picture of devices and everything else, and it was all about, again, causing pain. And they told us, this individual from the military, rogue military, told me that, listen, we have found out that we can get anybody to do anything with the right level of torture. You can get anybody to jump, hop, skip, whatever else, recant. Think in terms of a Muslim in the Sudan with a machete telling, you know, another Sudanese to renounce their faith, or he's going to chop off their arms, or he's going to kill their mother or father, or he's going to throw them in fire if they don't renounce Christ and turn to the moon god Allah. Now, there's a strong, strong, strong threat control there. And the issue of preservation of life. And again, you have something that is absolutely wrong. And people use threat control, terror control, threat of harm, threat of pain, threat of theft, threat of whatever, to control you, control your mind, control you, and make you do things. And again, we want to be free and clear of that. Five, let's go to another level right now. This is called love bombing. Love bombing and peer control. Now listen, this is how we do it in high school and junior high. You know, someone says, you know, listen, everybody's having sex, so why don't you have sex? And we've heard from parents when we were younger too, you know, if everybody's going to jump off the bridge, are you going to jump off also? Well, of course not. But there is something about peer control and in growing up and being controlled by others, in the sense that 10 of your friends are all going to drink, they're all going to do drugs, they're all going to go to a party, they're all going to sneak out, they're all going to steal something. So many people have gotten in trouble because they would have never initiated some crime, they would have never initiated some bad behavior, but because of peer pressure, peer influence, they went along with the mindset. And you've got to make a decision whether you're going to be your own person and whether you're going to be, you know, free from that kind of control, whether you're younger or an older person. Love bombings goes even further because it comes out of the cult, the Moonies, or the Unification Church. Love bombing was a particular practice where they would pull you, they would target, really, runaways and others on the streets. And they would invite you to come to things, and it was already a setup. It was a setup in the sense you'd be brought to a certain place, and all the people there knew that you were the newcomer, and they were to just throw love on you and hug you and just speak to you. And again, manipulation, it was all a setup, loving you and grabbing you and holding on and just all the love you can get and all of the friendship, to where you feel like, man, this is better than my family, better than my friends, better than at college or better than at work. And I need to hook up with these people because they are so kind, they are so good, they are so awesome, and they've love bombed you. Pretty soon that love bombing all dissipates because it wasn't from the heart. The Word of God tells us in Peter to love one another from the heart, deeply from the heart. We're to love with truth and no manipulation. We're not loving individuals so that we can get something out of them. That's what the Greek word agape is all about. Agape love. It doesn't look for any value in the object that it loves. It loves because that's the nature. God's nature is to love. So many times, God doesn't get loved back. Even when he healed the 10 lepers, only one came back to give thanks. God doesn't love only to get you to do something. God loves because that's who he is. God is love is a definition in the book of 1 John. It is the central attribute of God. His power and all his other attributes flow from this love that God has for us. And God's teaching us how to love in truth, how to love with honesty. And there's a great description of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when you begin to read what love is and what love is not. And you begin to learn. Like the old song Foreigner that cried out, I want to know what love is. Well, go to 1 Corinthians, if you want to, chapter 13, and read a biblical definition of the nature of love that flows from God, that's to come into the heart of the believer, and that we're to begin to love that way, to where we're going to be free of intimidating people, manipulating people. We're going to be free from thought control, of throwing little suggestions into people's heads, and trying to harm them through negative ones. And we're also going to be free from threat control over people's lives. But we're not going to also, number five, love people with a manipulative love that's only getting... It's like the guy that says to the girl, if you really love me, you'll have sex with me. The girl should look right back into his face and say, if you really love me, you wouldn't ask me in that way. If you really love me, you wouldn't manipulate me in trying to get your own self-satisfaction. Right, ladies? Can I hear an amen to that? I thought so. Under number six, there's this idea of commercial marketing. And I already mentioned about my Mexican friend down in Tijuana, where he stood far away from me, but he threw out these little suggestions. You can watch, certain little commercials and the little themes they have. And you notice how television works this way also. When it goes to commercial, did you ever notice that all of a sudden the volume goes higher to grab your attention? The world of marketing is billions and billions of dollars to grab your attention, to convince you to buy this. You can have it your way. You only go around once, in life. Michelob. And start thinking about, the cigarette commercials and the old alcohol commercials and the alcohol ads. Everybody in the advertisement world knows that sex sells. Look how many advertisements that deals with sexual issues to affect you and draw you into listening. And so you've got to really be very careful because commercial advertising loves, especially when you walk into a store, to strike you with impulse buying. That's what end caps are all about. That's what all those little items at the end, when you're going through the line to pay your money, all those little things while you're waiting to look at this little thing and that little thing and this little thing. That's what all of those things. And there's laws against, them shooting out subliminal messages, which we'll talk about. But we can find this in movie theaters. We can find this in the suggestions of foods all over the place, everywhere. And we have to really, have a strong mind, have a strong will, and really make decisions for ourselves. And I know that becoming a believer in Christ, have you read in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience? We know the first three very well. Love, joy, we know love, joy, and peace. And we can read, that's what we want. We want the love, we want the joy, we want the peace. But it goes on patience and gentleness and so forth, kindness, and it comes with the word self-control. You'll read about this in the pastoral letters of Timothy and Titus. God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind, or of self-control. The inward power to be in control, that you're not being manipulated by impulsive things, and you're not spending your money. You ever say when you come back from somewhere, I wish I wouldn't have spent my money. I probably shouldn't have done that. You ever sit back from the table and says, man, my eyes were bigger than my belly. And you know you're stuffed, and you feel like a hog, and you shouldn't have eaten too much. And again, it's because sometimes some of our own desires of the flesh, the old flesh nature. Now, study in Galatians the acts of the flesh so that you'll know the difference between, you know, even inwardly when the old flesh nature wants you to go certain directions, which always, again, is going to bring harm to your life. Well, it's very important that we understand even commercial marketing and the way car salesmen. I took my daughter out not too long ago. She was learning how to, we're getting her first car, and I wanted her to experience. We probably went to 15 different places. She saw what it was to experience really, really a bad experience, how to pray through these issues, how to really take your time, how to look for a good deal, how to look for truth and honesty and so forth. And she only saw a couple of salespeople that seemed to be honest and true, really. And she saw some that really frustrated her and made her mad. And she saw people lie to her and lie to us and manipulate and try all kinds of things. We had to walk away. And she was taught very well on that issue now. She knows what to look and scrutinize and so forth. And by God's grace and with prayer and consideration and viewing all these things, we ended up getting a car and a better amount financially. And the person we dealt with was very kind and very good. He didn't have to use intimidation, manipulation. He didn't have to, play games with us. And I liked that. That's why I send people over to that place so that other people can experience someone telling them the truth and treating them fairly and honestly. So in commercial marketing, you've got to decide if you're a person who sells. What is the suggestion of selling and what is manipulation? And what game can be played in the area of marketing and sales and so forth? Well, let's look at number 7, post-hypnotic suggestion. Now, this is a big one right now because you've got all over the place where you can go, where you can have a hypnotist, a hypnotherapist, put you under, take you down, and suggest into your, quote, subconscious, and put the thoughts in you, well, you're not going to be that hungry any longer, you're not going to overeat, or put other thoughts, you're going to have peace in your mind and heart and so forth, or you're going to quit smoking, you're not going to desire smoking any longer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're putting into your system what you have not yet been able on your own to put into your system because of conflicting, a battle that goes on sometimes. And the issue with post-hypnotic is that it takes away from your conscious thinking mind and goes beyond that and literally plants a post-hypnotic suggestion. It's very similar to programming. Very similar and very dangerous. Once you've been hypnotized and you've had that done once, the problem is this: your mind becomes more susceptible the next time and the next time and the next time to being hypnotized and to be given, and you may even begin to rely upon that instead of relying on God. It might be easier for you to instead of the Bible saying, to resist Satan or to resist sin and things like that, because the Bible talks about we have a struggle, not against flesh and blood, that inwardly, sometimes, like in the book of James, it says each man is tempted when by his own evil desire. The old flesh nature wants, sends us some of the old desires because we see something or hear something. And we have to battle. You know what? Temptation is aggravating. It involves the mind. Temptation comes from the flesh and comes from Satan. Temptation carries with it intimidation and carries with it manipulation. It is coded from the very beginning with lies. It's promising you some pleasure, some good thing, whatever else. But in the end, you'll always get bit. And the Word of God tells you each person is tempted when by their own evil desire, inward desire might come. There's also all of a sudden a suggestion, an enticing. Then it talks about being dragged away. The more you listen, the more you receive, the more you consider, doing the wrong thing, the stronger it becomes, till finally you cave in. Nobody ever just sins out of the blue. There's a process. And we're going to talk about, in the spiritual warfare aspect, thoughts that can be, you know, it could come from a friend. Anywhere it comes from, inside, outside, doesn't make any difference. If you're going to have a mind that is free and clear in Christ, empowered by the Spirit of the Lord and the new nature that God gives you, if you're going to be able to read the Word of God and be able to gain, through that use of the Word of God, the ability to discern, perceive, and clearly make judgments, then one of the areas is going to be, you know that particular sins and issues and so forth will destroy you if you give in to them. Well, that's going beyond just post-hypnotic suggestion. And I would try to influence you, your choice, of course, not to allow someone to bypass your cognitive mind and to plant into the back, because you have no idea what else can go on. With this issue, let alone the fact that, in my personal belief, I think it opens doors for even demonic influence, because it opens, it keeps you from scrutinizing what may be suggested to your quote subconscious, and it's very important for you to be clear of that. Well, let's look at 8 real quick. Voice to skull. Look at the technology. A lot of people have put a lot of stuff on the web concerning it, and it's been out there for some time. I mean, since the 60s and so forth. The issue of being able to send thoughts right into the brain of another human being. Now, you understand how music works in the issue of music being played or television being played or whatever else, and they can put, again, the issue of subliminal. We'll talk about that in a moment, but thoughts that come to you that you're not perceiving with your cognitive mind. And the issue here with a voice to skull, again, it's the outside person. Through mechanics, through machinery, through technology, sending you thoughts. Now, in a broader way, in non-lethal weapons and, you know, stuff that Colonel John Alexander's worked on at Los Alamos and places like that, or you can read on the web a lot about voice to skull and the newest of this technology and sending literal phrases and thoughts and suggestions into another person's mind. And you've got to be extremely, extremely careful in these days when it comes to technology like this, and you and I need to be very aware of what's going on around us, very aware of this kind of technology. Now, I'm not sure so many people have been really influenced, but I do know that if the government in the past has illegally, immorally, and eventually confessed to some of the LSD experimentation, radiation experimentation, and mind control, in the Freedom Information Act, you can get a lot of information on this right now. A lot of good books. Journey into Madness is a great book that deals with the mind control issues that came out of the CIA. And we're not going to get heavy into it here. More into the Black Awakening course and the book coming. We deal more in detail with that. But again, the concept that thoughts are being shot into your head from an outside source. And one of the ways in which, in all of this, one of the ways to deal with this is to ask yourself whether these thoughts that you're having are coming from you. To simply say, where in the world are these thoughts coming from? Where in the world are these feelings coming from? And that's part of what we're going to talk about towards the end here in having a free and clear mind. But there is the technology out there to invade the mind. Now, there's also the issue of drug-induced. Obviously, in the area of drugs being induced, that's what date rape drugs are all about. You know, that's what they're all about. Because you're trying, again, to do something to cloud the mind, do whatever you can to the mind, to people that are drunk. Sometimes you can talk a drunk into doing all kinds of stuff. And that's why guys like to get girls drunk or whatever else in junior high, high school, college, whatever else. Get everybody drinking, get everybody tipsy, and and people do things. And that's why so many get up the next morning, they've had a wild weekend. That's why there's pregnancies and rapes that occur and crimes that occur and fights that occur, because there is an influence. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're not to be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, which the idea is wild and crazy and out of the mind living. That's why people say, man, I was blasted, I was blown away, my mind was, drugs do that to your mind. LSD, peyote, acid, all those kind of drugs, the old cannabinol, angel dust, all the new stuff that's out there right now, it all has that level of effect, and then it'll have a physiological effect, and it can open doors to spirits, the Greek word pharmakon used in the book of Revelation, where the individuals would not turn from the pharmakon. We get our word pharmacy or pharmaceuticals, drugs. Drugs can open the door to demonic pathways. No question about that whatsoever. And so be careful about drugs manipulating the mind and being used. When people are depressed, sometimes instead of dealing with the issue and getting the right answer, it's easier to get a pill to make us feel better, and that's all that it does. It masks through the our feelings, our emotions, but it doesn't change the process, how you got there. You have those emotions 90% of the time, unless you have a brain tumor, unless you do have some kind of, you're way out there and somebody's, using high-level technology on you, voice to skull, drugs and antidepressants and things like that are used to deal with the emotions, but the emotions are there, my friend, because of the thought life. And I just want to suggest real quick, comes to my mind a book by Tim LaHaye on depression. And he'll talk about the suicide, he'll talk about rather the spiritual, it all begins the spiritual, and then it deals in the mental, then it deals in the emotional, then it actually physically affects you. And it's very important that you are very aware of the use of drugs and what they can do to you. Drug addicts do not have a free and clear mind. They don't have a mind that's free and clear. If you're on marijuana, say, oh man, this is really cool. I'm sitting back here, you know what? It's literally killing cells in your brain. And you do not have a mind that is free and clear. You have a mind that can be manipulated, and then God did not give you marijuana so that you can reach him. That's just not God's process. God has another way to give you something better. Listen, before I got saved, I smoked all kinds of marijuana. I did all kinds of drugs. When I got saved and the Spirit of God came into my life and I was born of the Spirit of the Lord and found out what love was and the presence of God was, I have never, in 30-some years, never been drunk again, never went back to the drugs. I just never wanted to, because I found something that was real, that doesn't go away. And that is the living presence and person of the Lord Jesus. Let's continue. Here's another area, the subliminal that we talked about. The issue that, again, thoughts would be piggybacked over the airways, over a radio, over even the computer now, that we need to learn more and more about this, even though it's outlawed in some senses, how it's going to be used. That there would be these projections. It was used in theaters. It was, about getting popcorn. You're watching, and but within the film, because it goes so fast, there were suggestions about buying popcorn. And you can study this in basic psychology books on mind control and mind manipulation. And some of the studies they did, that though you did not see it with your own eyes, your brain saw, buy the popcorn. Well, that's going subterranean on you. And this is harder to detect, but it has the sense of, again, having this innate feeling, this sense of, you got to ask again, where are these feelings coming from? Where are these thoughts coming from? Why do I feel so strongly about getting popcorn? I didn't want it when I came in here. And listen, that again is immoral. It is based in lie, the idea of lie, the idea of manipulation, and only for one purpose: to supply somebody else with money in their pocket. Well, let's look at number 11, flaming arrows. Now, this is in Ephesians chapter 6, when the Word of God tells every single believer to lift up the shield of faith, which can extinguish, meaning put out, completely put out, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows. Now, listen, this is why we're supposed to have the armor of God on, and to leave it on, and to have your shield of faith up, because it can extinguish all the lies. What this tells you and reveals is that Satan projects thoughts and feelings that go contrary to the will of God, to the Word of God, to the character of God. It goes contrary to the life of the believer. So then all of a sudden you're feeling this, no, this weird feeling. God doesn't love you. God's not with you. God's not doing this. God's not doing that. And you don't know where these feelings are coming. You just, God doesn't love you. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do this. Listen, you don't want to study the Bible. How do I know it's true? All these kind of things. Listen, you need to stop again as a believer and step back and say, Lord, where are all these feelings coming from and these thoughts coming from? I have found that in spiritual warfare, that the demonic side works, in the beginning anyway, through involuntary feelings and involuntary thoughts. Literally, from the spirit realm, thoughts are shot over to you, and truly, the enemy wants you to think that it's your own thoughts, that it's your own feelings. And this comes when there's oppression. And it seems like, you know, you want to go out and you want to share. So, you know, maybe you're a strong believer and you want to share Christ and you've got a great ministry and you want to pray strong. But all of a sudden there's oppressive thoughts that your prayers are not going to work and you're not going to win anybody Christ and nobody's going to listen to you. And all these, this wave of involuntary feeling, involuntary thoughts. Listen, learn more about spiritual warfare. Learn that all those things that come in contrary to the Word of God, the will of God, the character of God, are not from God. Spiritual warfare has those effects. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that Satan rose up against Israel and enticed David, King David, to sin. So that's very, you know, he's called the tempter. And we're told about this again and again. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you read where Paul's very concerned for the believers right there that somehow they would be led astray in their minds from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ. They would be led astray in their minds by whom? By Satan's cunning, the tempter, by his cunning, by his manipulation, by his seduction, that even Christians would be led astray. That's what false prophets and false prophecies and false teachers and false apostles and counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what they're all about. To cause, we need the grid of Deuteronomy 13 that tells us that if any sign, wonder, miraculous thing occurs, but it leads you away from God and away from the Word of God, you know immediately it's not from God. Listen, the greatest thing in the world is just to be familiar with your Lord and Savior, familiar with the Word of God, familiar with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you'll know more and more the difference, and get more teaching on this one subject. I'm just doing this. You're getting a Reader's Digest version of all these issues, which I should probably take each one and do an hour of study over each one of these areas so that we can understand what it is to have, again, a mind that is free and clear. That's what God wants, a mind that is free and clear. Well, in 12, we have the issue of programming. Programming, and you can read about it again in the books that are out there, Journey to Madness, John Marx's The Manchurian Candidate, or Colin Ross, the Project Bluebird, the purposeful creation of multiple personality disorder, with 4 million, maybe 5 million diagnosed cases of those who have been split. Most of them have been split purposely by people who knew how to literally divide the personality, which includes the mind, the emotions, the will, and to create sub-personalities. And they understood how to program through a screen, forcing them to look at a screen in the new personality and see, or to hear, or to have headphones on and to have that new personality hear in loop. Constant programming that you're going to be a sex slave, you're going to do this, you're going to be a runner, you're going to do this, or you're going to be an assassin, or you're going to be, you know, an infiltrator. That's what so many of the chosen ones have. That's what their personalities have. And when I've engaged many of these personalities, that's all they know. They only know the job that they've been given. They don't know anything else, because those who split and program human personality and human minds, they all they're doing is injecting their own will. They're injecting their own agenda. And again, they are turning human beings into their own little robots, their own little slaves. And it's a high crime and a massive sin. Jesus said something one time, it'd be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck to be thrown into the deepest sea than to face him the judgment for what they've done. So judgment's coming, my friends, and that's going to be dealt with. And programming can occur from individuals doing it, and that's probably the broadest sense of programming, turning people into Manchurian candidates, or using them in satanic rituals, or using them in the satanic agenda. Even those who are being built satanic super soldiers to bring in the reign of the Antichrist. It's all about being completely controlled. Well, let me touch on number 13. The ritual and sympathetic magic. That's what rituals, you know, occult level warfare is all about too. To send through their gateways demonic. That's what a spell's about, to manipulate. I mean, spells can be, spirits and presence and so forth, and spells can be done I want this person to love me. I want that person to have sex with me. I want to be able to have this money. It's about manipulation. It's about manipulating the mind. And it's about doing something beyond a person's mind and their own choice. It's to send an evil presence. And occult-level warfare does this. Sympathetic magic in suggesting to people in the concepts of voodoo and hoodoo and in Kintabli and other African or Haitian-style dark occultism. There's this thing of sympathetic magic, making the person, you're literally suggesting and causing fear. And that's part of Satan's reign, even in spiritual warfare. If he can get you to fear and put the thoughts into your mind that some sickness is coming, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy issue. That they're there to get you to change your mind and to get you to change. So be aware of these areas. And again, more and deeper studies are going to be involved with the book and with the course that comes up. 14, the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. Let me just say simply this. It's all about mind control. It's all about mind control. It's all about, even the mark involves total soul control, and that involves mind control. Read Revelation 16. How the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet unleash demonic presence to strike the kings, leaders, presidents, military men, congress people, things like that, to convince them satanically and supernaturally to do what they might otherwise not do. And so please understand this area of the Antichrist, the mark, and in the area of satanic influence. Listen, my friend, you've got to hear this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "The God of this age, in reference to Satan, blinds the minds of unbelievers." Jesus says he comes to steal the word of God so that people can't believe. So he steals truth, or he distorts truth, or he blinds. Notice what it says. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, memorize this verse. Know this verse well. He comes to blind the mind, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, icon of God. This is God in human flesh. Satan is doing all that he can do to blind the mind from perceiving that. That's why when we're sharing Christ and preaching Jesus, and the word of God cuts through that blinding, and prayers help break that blinding, and the message of the gospel is so powerful that it blows away the blinding so that truth can come and enable a person to cognitively and fully embrace the truth without manipulation, without being clouded by dark stuff. And that is what God does in his release. 15, there is totalism. The issue of getting a person away from their family, their environment, their career, getting them from another state. That's why cults do this all the time. Divine Light Mission, the Worldwide Children of God, GOG, Jonestown, All of that involved this totalism of moving people away from everything to completely engage their mind, even teaching them, you know, that they're not to think for themselves. You know, Eastern pantheism and Hinduistic transcendental meditation, those kind of philosophies and spiritual teachings of the New Age do this, making your mind passive and opening your mind and don't think critically and don't think that, and just let anything pop into your head. Again, and bring what? Influence. And totalism is about environment. It's about everything. And it's a sad thing when you see parents talk about how their child is in some group and they can't even get to them because the controllers know they can't let nobody else inject any of the thoughts or to do anything else to help you get out of it because they want total control. That's what it's about. And 16 is just the idea of zombies. If you ever did any studies on the issue of zombies and zombification, it's all about having a human being and controlling. That's what Satan was all about. Zombies, mind-controlled drones. That's what it's about in the satanic agenda of the chosen ones, of what's going on in cults and the source of the lie, the manipulation, the intimidation, and the methods of mind control come straight from the pit of hell. And you and I, by God's grace, have been invaded with the truth of God. And you know what? When God comes to any soul, anywhere, any place, there is influence. But the presence of God influences the mind with a couple of things that go on. One, he's able to push back the blinding power of Satan, the lies and so forth, and present you the truth. Literally, it's as if God lifts you up far enough to where you can make a clear and true judgment. So if you're not a believer, listen to me right now. Listen, God doesn't want to manipulate. He's not going to intimidate. He's not going to mind control you. He's not going to use you. You know, some of you Luciferians and chosen ones, you've been told never to read the Bible. You've got all kinds of belief inoculation, not to get into it. But I'm going to tell you right now that God does he never programs, never controls, never intimidates, never does it this way in any of these 16 areas that I've talked about. He influences you with this in mind, that is, the presence of God and the work of God lifts you and your mind out of the fog so that you can see clearly and that you can grasp and make a choice with your mind, your faculties, and your whole being. God summons you. God reaches out to you. The Word of God comes to you. And that's what he wants to do for your life. Now listen, I know I'm talking to a lot of believers here too right now, and the only thing I'm telling you right now is I know this is already an hour's gone by, and we're dealing with just a Reader's Digest view of all of this. But I do want to leave you with a few things today. Be aware of mind control procedures and manipulations and so forth, just like what we're talking here today. Be aware of this, and be aware that God wants you to have your own mind and choose and think, and God wants you to. So number one, be aware, and you're doing that by listening to this basic overview. Second, be a fighter. You know, fight the intimidation and the manipulation and the impulse and all the different things that you know that are buying for your attention. And by knowing Jesus Christ and having the Spirit of God in your life, God gives you the power of self-control, gives you a sound mind. Bible says about this in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 that the mind of Christ, the idea that you're able to perceive and discern, the spiritual man or woman discerns all things. The Bible teaches in Hebrews that the Word of God, by its constant use, gives you the ability to scrutinize and discern. Now listen, here's a great verse for all of us, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that if we present ourselves a living sacrifice to God, surrender to God, yield to God, no longer be controlled by the patterns of this world. You know, no longer give in to just the peer pressure of the fallen world around us and all the junk. But instead be something else to happen. In your yielding to the Lord and turning away from the world of flesh and the devil, literally you open yourself to this, a transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice what it says, the renewing of your mind. God, the Word of God gives light. The Spirit of God will unleash from the inside out the power to perceive and to know, to discern. You got a spirit. You know, I read a book called PK Men, where the whole issue is training Psi warriors, and remote viewers are into this issue right now, and those who astral project are in this issue right now, and that all can be used in this. We could have added more numbers to this whole discussion, where the whole issue was to shoot thoughts into the minds of others and to control people. God wants to bring truth. And as you accept His truth by your own will, by your own mind, and embrace His truth, liberation comes. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now, the Greek word used is gnosis, where you know, the idea of gnosis, Gnostic. This gnosis is the Greek word for experientially experienced knowledge, that you know that you know that you know by experiential knowledge. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul says, "I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know Him better." Well, the Greek word is epigenosis, meaning that He will give you a full and then complete and total sense of knowledge of His presence, of Jesus, that He just utterly from the inside out gives you an experiential acquaintance. God wants you to get deeper with Him. And you can do that through the Word and walking with Jesus and to know the truth. Truth sets you free, my friend. Truth sets you free from the lies of the past. Truth sets you free from the lies of manipulation, intimidation. Truth sets you free to know how to make choices to get away from threat control and so forth. Truth can even come to the most highly programmed, split, chosen ones, multiples, and so forth. And a truth encounter with a power encounter with God's grace, things can change. That's why in dealing with inner healing, you never can manipulate another personality. It's all about God lifting them to their height to enable them to truly choose. And when that choice occurs, God grants the empowerment to grant. I mean, just brings light. Read Psalm 119 about the Word of God. It brings radiance and light and counsel and so forth to your life. So, my friend, let me tell you this. Jesus is concerned about your mind. The Word of God is. In a world that is growing increasingly more confused, and we need a mind that is free and clear from the lies, the manipulation, from things around us. A mind that can choose the will of God and move in His direction. And so let me encourage you again to continue to study, continue to grow, continue to just build your life in Christ. Let your mind be free through the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. Hey, this is Russ, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. God bless you. We pray that God will strengthen you.